Hello and welcome to The New Witches. I am Maria. I am just one half of The New Witches. My co-host Laura is not able to join us today, and I know we both know that we've been gone for about a month now, or probably more at this point. And we really wanted to start putting out episodes again. There's been a lot of stuff going on with the both of us, as well as some new things that we were really excited to try out with the podcast when we both returned together. We were going to be recording today for the new episode this break. But unfortunately, Laura wasn't feeling well. And since it's been so long, we figured, let's give you guys something. So today I am going to be reading some listener stories. I will hold off on questions unless it's specifically only to me, just because Laura and I both have so much fun answering the questions and I always love hearing her input on things. So I think I'll hold off those until our next listener stories episode. But welcome to the 22nd listener stories episode. Let's have some fun. So our first story is from Brianna. And Brianna says, she says, "Hello, witches, and happy new year. I have sort of an ethics question and then a cute little story to wrap it all up. For the question, I was wondering your guys' opinions on doing magic for others. I've done many a protection spell or sigil, most of the time both, for my friends, but beyond that, my best friend and I are really connected and I'm really in tune to their emotions and likewise. They really struggle mentally sometimes, and a couple of times I've done a candle spell for them to find happiness, love, and comfort. I think that they help, but I'm worried I'm manipulating something I shouldn't, a lesson to learn or development of some kind. I just have so much love for them, I don't want him to hurt. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. For the story, I'm not fully out of the broom closet, and my friends know I'm witchy, and my family knows I like crystals and tarot, but I haven't called myself a witch in front of them. This year for Christmas, I really had no idea what I wanted, so I left it up to everyone to get creative. My mom decided she wanted to try to get me some crystals and got me a moon phase shelf to put them on. It was so thoughtful, and I could have cried. The last couple days, I've worn an amethyst necklace that she got me, and I can feel the love she infused in it. My mom doesn't believe in or really understand anything regarding crystals, but I think she subconsciously put intentions into the crystals she gave me. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy, especially because my mother and I haven't always had the best relationship. All is good now, no worries. But yes, that's my question and story. Sorry for rambling. Thank you for reading, and I hope you ladies have an amazing and magical year." Thank you for your story and question. I know that I said I wouldn't answer questions, but I guess when there's one kind of built in. I think it's amazing that you are ensuring that you have ethics in mind when practicing your witchcraft. We love ethics here. if you couldn't tell from our ethical witchcraft series. But I think what you're doing is really lovely. It comes from a place of love. My follow-up question, and maybe it was in your story and I didn't catch it, but does your friend know that you're doing this for them? I think, honestly, as long as you're just wishing them wellness and happiness, there isn't much harm. I could be wrong if somebody, you know, has a different opinion, or maybe Laura has a different take on this. But I know for, you know, my Christian background, it's not unethical to pray for somebody's well-being. And so I think, in my opinion, I think that's really lovely. I think it starts getting really tricky when you start getting money involved, or, you know, if you start wishing harm on people, or you're trying to manipulate a specific situation for another person without their consent. But I think if it's something that's just kind of general, you know that it's something that they want, I would say as long as it's coming from that place, it's okay. But definitely ask yourself those questions. And ask yourself, you know, if I were to come clean to my friend or to whomever, about what I'm doing for them, would I feel any sort of hesitation? How might they react? And maybe just to be safe, before you do anything, just ask your loved ones, like, hey, I would love to do this for you. Let me know if that makes you feel uncomfortable, but it's no problem for me to do it for you. I think it's really great that you are keeping your ethics in mind. And also, how cute is that of your mom to get you crystals? Even if she doesn't like get it, she still like supports your interests. And I totally believe that your mom infused her, you know, mom love into those crystals. Like, how couldn't she? She went through the process of buying them, wrapping them, I'm sure, giving them to you. That's an intention right there. And also, amethyst is also such a great lovey feel good crystal. I love amethyst. So that totally makes sense. Thank you so much for writing, Brianna. All right. Our next story is from Drunk Astrologer. I'm pretty sure you've written into us before, but Drunk Astrologer, i.e. Allison, she, her, hers. She says, hi, lovely ladies. This is Allison. I wasn't going to write in for a little bit. I've been excited to hear all the different stories that are being written in and didn't want to push back other voices. However, as I am currently stuck at home, unable to work thanks to COVID, and got bored enough, I decided to write down the story. I am also interested in what you guys think of this story and what was the cause of the activity. Currently, I am torn between poltergeist or ghost of the man who lived in the apartment before. When I moved into my last apartment, it was a very sudden move. I was rebuilding my life for the second time in less than 2 years. I had no furniture other than a bed, and I had to work two jobs just to pay the bills and buy food. It was during this time that I started being trained by my mentor as an intuitive and energy worker. I was definitely going through some difficult and interesting times. The first time anything happened, I was pouring coffee in the morning, getting ready for work. All of a sudden, there was a bang, and I realized I no longer had a coffee mug in my hand, and the coffee was now all over my outfit. It took me a moment to realize what happened. The bottle of tequila that was at the top of the fridge on the other side of the kitchen was now upside down beside me on the ground, and my mug was shattered into pieces. Whoa. It was far enough away that I took a photo of the bottle as proof, but the picture came out black on my phone when I tried to show people later. I didn't think too much about it until it happened again a few weeks later. I came out of my bedroom to see the bottle again upside down right at the entrance to the kitchen. The next time I heard the crash and came out and the bottle was right side up, but this time the neck of the bottle was broken off. I threw that bottle of tequila away and got another one, but that didn't help. The new bottle kept being thrown, but despite moving it to different spots around the kitchen. I also moved a bottle of whiskey to the same spot that tequila had been on the fridge, and it never moved. I finally got sick of it and kept the tequila in a cabinet. One day, about a year after the first tequila incident, that sounds like a college story. One day, about a year after the first tequila incident, I was cleaning and putting up sigils around the house. When I went to put a protection sigil above the front door and discovered that someone had carved something up about the door. Do you mean around the door? My first response was a huge, nope, I'm moving. But then I took a moment to try to figure out what the carving was. I finally figured out it said, we will buy this place. Oh, it became funny to me because it felt like such a weird thing to carve in the wall of an apartment. When I moved out of the apartment, I told the handyman about the carving. That is when I found out the story of the apartment. The man who lived there before me lived in the apartment since it had been built over 40 years ago. He was elderly and died in the apartment a couple months before I moved in. He had died because his caregiver would only come once a week to cash his checks to go buy drugs. Oh my gosh. He was neglected to a pretty extreme condition and no one had noticed. Oh, Poor guy. The handyman had been tasked to clear and throw away all the man's belongings. The handyman had kept some of the belongings, including some really cool vinyls. He ended up throwing them away about a year after because he said that they brought bad energy to his place. He never told me exactly what happened, but said he had been scared. After hearing that and properly cleansing my new apartment before I moved in, I was convinced that the ghost wouldn't follow. I set the tequila out with all the other alcohols. Within a week, the tequila bottle was thrown off the fridge again. Now, the tequila bottle always stays in a cabinet where it can't be thrown. That's a good idea. I would definitely be interested in your guys' opinion on what you think might have a vendetta against my tequila bottle. Thank you so much for such an awesome podcast and for the listener stories. I've loved seeing how big you guys are getting, and I wish you all the best. Allison, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much for writing in again. I knew I recognized your email. Okay, so is it just me, or I actually sometimes get a bad reaction from tequila? It's one of the, I mean, I actually really don't drink much at all. Like, and if I do, I order maybe one drink and rarely do I finish it. I don't know. I've lost the taste for alcohol like I used to, which is ironic because I used to be in the wine industry and used to drink a ton. But when I did drink, I always had to avoid tequila because I don't know what it was. It like gave me like spasms in my throat. Like I was allergic to it or something, like really painful spasms. It was only ever when I had a drink with tequila in it. And to the point where I don't know like what I would call those reactions. I just would say I'm allergic. I didn't get a rash or anything. But I don't know, maybe your ghost friend does not like tequila in their house. jokes aside, it does sound very poltergeisty. Who knows what kind of person the old man that was living in your apartment was? Because, you know, you hear an old man that was being taken advantage of, and that's horrible that his caregiver treated him like that. Maybe he's angry. Maybe that resentment turned into its own self-intelligent, you know, entity, i.e. a poltergeist. Yeah, maybe just keep the tequila in the cabinet. That's pretty wild. To find it being thrown like that, and only tequila. And I think according to your story, you bought a new tequila bottle and that's still that one. Who knows? Or maybe the ghost of the man is still there and he has really bad memories associated with tequila. I'm not sure. But that's super creepy. I'm glad that you keep it in a cabinet now. But if your handyman had belongings of the man and said that he got scared and it had bad energy, I don't know. Perhaps this guy is carrying some sort of anger or sadness, or it sounds like he was very, very mistreated. Maybe that's just how he's taking out his anger. I'm not sure. This is when I would love to have... I miss Laura, guys. fortunately, she's so sick that she has no voice. So even if she wanted to, she couldn't record. But yeah, I miss doing these episodes with her. I always love her hearing her input. But that's personally what I'm getting from your story. Keep writing in, Allison. We'd love hearing from you. And thank you so much for the kind words as well. Okay. I think... Oh, whoops. Actually... No, okay. Fine. Okay, so yeah, Fine is our German listener, and you've written in before. Sorry for the like awkward pause. I thought we had read your story already, but I actually think this is a new one. So anyways, Fine writes in. Fine says, hi, it's Fina again. I just listened to your reaction of my story. Okay, with the scout ghosts and the pudding. I don't think I made that clear in the message, but I felt like it was at least two entities or more. Lord, I feel like I'm way oversharing and sending way too many messages, but you asked for it and I always forget something. That's okay. We love hearing from you guys. All right. So here's my path and practices. I made spell jars with sorta kinda sigils on and stuff I collected while out and about in the woods. Every time I make a new one, I just pick what resonates with me and what I want to do. I'll include some pictures for you guys and also do spell bundles, question mark. So I take a ribbon of some kind and tie dried plants and stuff together to hang up in my room. I don't cleanse every single glass I fill, only if I feel it necessary. And I don't use sage or smoke sticks because my parents will get suspicious. I already had a weird conversation with my mother about why I was taking chunk salt, rosemary, and vanilla sugar to my room. But I blow on the object while repeating my intention or burn a bay leaf and use its smoke because I can sneak that out of the kitchen. That's right, because you're in the broom closet. Gotcha. Okay. I also use clementine / orange peels to cast circles, etc. Because it is pretty sus if I try to sneak eggshells out of the kitchen. Everything I do is very intuitive, and I do look up stuff only to often find that my interpretation is just the same. That's awesome. If it isn't, I don't really care because it doesn't work for me, so I don't use it. An example is with elements and directions, because I made an altar with a pentacle and the elements and was putting them in the directions I saw fit. I actually did not know about the pentacle and the fifth element of spirit, but I worked with it just intuitively. I use spirit more like in ghosts and ancestors because it just felt right. I meditate and write chants to charge my crystals and spell jars and sing and chant when I feel safe, for example, in the woods, and dance in a very specific and energetic way, like in a trance, playing with energy within me, in my surroundings, with gravity and movement. In those moments, it always strikes me like a lightning, a feeling of incredible happiness and raw emotion and power. Sometimes it is so intense I actually need to lie/sit down and calm down for several minutes. I have been feeling that stroke as long as I can remember. It often comes with extreme weather conditions like strong wind and that kind of heavy, strong summer rain/thunderstorms. I once was kayaking at the Old Rhine. Oh my gosh, I'm probably mispronouncing that. I'm sorry. A river arm in my area where my club is. It is a very hot day and sunny, but when we were down the river, about 200 to 300 meters, very dark clouds drew near and we heard the first thunder. We went on anyways, hoping it would just go past us without us being in the center. But just a couple seconds later, it started raining heavily and we could now see the lightning. My trainer panicked a little. I would panic as well, because we were split across the river with up to 250 meters and she wasn't able to shout because we couldn't hear her over the thunder. So she needed to go to everyone herself and tell them to paddle towards the next club's landing stage because we, of course, needed to get out of the water. By that time, we were all drenched and a strong wind came on. In that boat, completely soaked and in the middle of a thunderstorm, my boat rocking. I think I skipped a line. Completely soaked and in the middle of a thunderstorm, my boat rocking to the sides of the waves made by the wind, I had the strongest experience of that kind yet. This email is already pretty long, but I have still some stuff I want to ask/tell and didn't want to write yet another email. So one thing I still have is that I want to ask for your opinion. So I sometimes watch TikTok compilations on YouTube because I don't want to download the app, and I saw something that really got me thinking. I watch a lot of forage TikTok because I like mushrooms and a bit of witch talk too, although I always fact check if I want to include it in my practice. But a disturbing phenomenon I stumbled upon is people taking bones out of nature and using them as decoration, same with dead insects. That just really, really makes me angry, because I feel like once living beings are something sacred and it isn't okay to take their remains just for the aesthetic or for anything else. It just sickens me. One of my favorite places to go also has a lot of bones, especially deer, because it's a hunting area, but it would never come to my mind to take them out of respect. I am always careful to not step on bones or hair. So what do you guys think? Am I overreacting? The next thing is more a problem than a question. So I am German, and that sadly makes it really hard to research certain stuff like old pagan traditions, because you can stumble across some neo-Nazi shit really fast. I can imagine. Like, for example, I had to do stuff about the Irminsul for a history project. The Irminsul was one of the most sacred objects for the old religion before Karl the Great tore it down and made people either convert to Christianity or die. It was meant to be the column that connects the gods with the human world. Sul is very similar to the German word Seul, which means column. But I found nothing of that when I looked it up. What I found was a shop that sells jewelry with pagan motifs. Sounds fine, right? Well, the thing is, you're pretty much socialized to connect pagan imagery to Nazis, and more often than not, it is that motive for wearing / making that kind of jewelry. Do you know any safe websites to learn about stuff? I know a lot about gods and creatures, but next to nothing about traditions. Okay, this is the last point I have. I bought a couple crystals very specific to what I needed for jars, etc. And I also bought a piece of selenite for charging the other crystals and things. The problem is, something about that selenite just feels wrong to me. I don't know if it's the look or feel or something else. I have no idea. I cleansed all crystals, that one twice, the selenite twice. I did a meditation with it. It still feels very weird and kind of blocks me every time I touch it or even think about it. Any idea what could be up with that? One more thing about cleansing. So I heard about sound cleansing, but as far as I saw, it's usually done with bells or singing bowls. But do you think I could do it with one of my instruments? I play the viola, guitar, and piano, viola/violin for now nearly 9 years, and recently got my own instrument instead of a leased one, and I'm feeling more connected to it than ever. So sound cleansing with instruments? Anyways, thanks for reading this long, long email and for doing your podcast, of course. Okay, and then she gives me a pronunciation guide. And she says, wait, did I do this before? So it's an I sound like E, fi. And the E is like an every. Yeah, so fine. Fine. Yeah, I think I got it right. Let me know if I got it right, Fina. okay, and then thank you for your guide. Okay, so to address your questions, where is the very first one? Okay, got it. So with the dead animal /insect objects, I think it's a very personal thing. I think obviously there's a way to do it ethically and respectfully. For example, actually, when I was doing a walkthrough tour of my for the venue where Gavin and I got eloped, I was walking around with my photographer. I actually found this butterfly, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so beautiful. It's just laying there on the table, and I was surprised that it didn't fly away when we got so close. And I kind of touched it and I saw that it was indeed dead. And I took it home with me. I, you know, cared for it very gently. I am going to keep it and put it, you know, have it with me. Butterflies have a very significant meaning on my dad's side of the family. It felt very special to me. But, you know, it would be different if I went and, like, try to kill a bug. Or took a bug home from its habitat and said, like, you're mine now. If I'm not, like, researching it, or if it's just to have it, right? We do want to be very respectful of living things, even once living things. I don't think that having those kinds of bones or objects are absolutely off limits. I know that many people actually use bones as tools for divination. I think it just depends on how we treat them. What do we do with them? So I think it's a kind of a gray area question. That's my take on it. I'm sure Laurel also will have input on it as well. And to your next question about the pagan traditions. Well, I do not want to speak much to that because I am not a pagan myself. This is where I really, really wish Laura was here, but we do have that ethical witchcraft of, or is it ethical witchcraft? I think it's actually types of witches, the Norse pagan witch. Definitely listen to that episode. Obviously, Laura prepared all the notes for that, and she also addressed how Norse paganism has been used or appropriated to use as propaganda for the Nazi movement back when the Nazis first formed, and today for current like neo-Nazis and white supremacy in general. It's a very tricky thing to manage, I can imagine. So listen to that episode. I hope that helps you when you listen to it. Otherwise, write in another email with that question. I know that Laura will be back on and hopefully she can address that more directly for you. And now to your next question. Let me see. Oh, the selenite. So I'm going to be honest. I also have tools that I've brought into my practice where I'm like, I don't know why I don't vibe with this. And sometimes you just have to accept it as that, as just at face value. I think with crystals, they can bring certain, you know, obviously they bring their own energies. They have different magical purposes and properties. But I don't know, sometimes... You know, you said yourself that you're very intuitive. There's a reason why you don't need the selenite. Maybe it's not, I don't think it's a bad piece of selenite, but maybe you just don't need it. And your intuition's just telling you that for whatever reason. If you're not vibing with it, that's totally okay. I've had crystals that I've brought in and I'm like, I just don't feel like I need you. Like I was excited to have you, but I don't feel a lot of that equilibrium energetically happening that I usually do with my crystals. Or, you know, if it's like a tarot deck or an oracle deck, I've bought decks that are gorgeous and I was so excited to purchase and to, you know, support that specific artist and everything. But I'm kind of like, I feel uninspired, or I just feel like, you know, you're a cool, like when it's just kind of like when you're making friends are getting to know people even and just being like, hey, like you're cool. You're an okay person. You don't seem bad or anything. We're just not meant to be friends and that's okay. Lastly, with the sound cleansing, absolutely you can use your viola as a cleansing instrument. I think as long as you're playing it with the intention of cleansing, people use all sorts of things. It's not always singing bowls or bells. You can also, there's some people that just simply clapped to do their sound cleansing. So I would say by all means, if that's what feels right to you, especially if you've been practicing that for 9 years, I'm sure you're an amazing performer of it. I think that's a great tool to use at your disposal. So I hope that helps, Fina. And I can't wait to hear from you again. Hope everything is good in Germany. All right. Our next listener story is from Danielle. She, her, hers. Danielle writes, hello, ladies. I absolutely love your podcast and have been binge listening from episode 1 during work and my commute to and from work. P.S. People look at me funny all the time because you both make me laugh so much. Anyways, I just got through listening to episode 81 and Laura describing her alien story, which reminded me of possibly mine. I know this won't be read for a while, so please disregard if no longer applicable to stories you are looking for. Oh my gosh, no, keep them coming. Again, like everyone, it's so funny. People write in, we're like, they're like, I don't, not sure if you want to hear this. We want to hear it. Like, please write in. We love hearing from you guys. I know that like I'll sometimes request like, oh, give us a poltergeist story or like give us more UFO stories. It's not that, you know, I won't accept a UFO story later. I love hearing all your guys' stories. Anyways, I'll continue with what Danielle writes. So I used to have this recurring nightmare when I was younger for at least a few years and haven't had it for a really long time. So some of the details I can't quite remember. Everything I'm about to type happens in my dream. I'll try to make it clear when I wake up. Dream. I always started with laying in bed, being asleep, and would wake up to this bright light outside my window. Not unusual since my window faced the road. Similar to the cars on the road, it moved around my room through the blinds. Imagine when you see headlights driving past a curtain and the way the light dances through the blinds. Anyways, this light was blinding and would last for a few seconds, and I would immediately get terrified and felt like I needed to hide. At this point, I would either sit up in bed or continue laying down with my blanket up to my nose, even in my dreams. It would be silent in the house for a few minutes, but then all of a sudden, the front door would be gone. I'm not sure if it was kicked open or if it suddenly just disappeared or how I even know that the front door was gone since my room is at the end of the hall. I would then do one of two things, sometimes both. I would try to either hide under my bed in my room, or I would sneak to my parents' room where I would hide between the bed and their dresser. I would be lying there, terrified, where I would hear footsteps walking through the hall and the house. Sometimes I would see the faceless outlines of a person, but more often than not, I would only be able to see a couple of dark figures lurking. Sometimes they were silver-colored, but mostly no faces. I have no idea where the rest of my family was. I just know that I would always try to escape through my bedroom window. I would escape and run and hide on the side of the house. Suddenly, I would run back into the house to try and save my family from the figures, and that's when I would usually wake up. My therapist said I just had issues / anxiety with feeling safe, but nothing in that time frame would make sense. I grew up in one house with a loving family, so I don't know. I always do that where I skip a line. I can tell you now I have many issues with memories and can hardly remember anything for long term. So my significant other gets annoyed because when we watch movies together, a couple of weeks later, I will have absolutely no recollection of ever seeing that movie. Are they connected? Is it trauma? Was it an alien encounter? I will never know. But thanks for reading my story, and I love you both. Thanks for making this wonderful podcast. You are both beautiful personalities and so genuine. I love listening to your banter, and you always present your ideas and the topics in such a respectful manner. Danielle. Thank you so much for writing in. Those are two topics of stories that I love hearing, UFO and weird dreams, which is kind of wild because like I have been having very vivid dreams lately. I forgot how vivid my dreams were. I actually had stopped a particular medication and they became more vivid since then. Very random, I know. Please, no one stop taking your medication just to get more vivid dreams. I was supposed to stop this medication. And once I did, I realized that my dreams became as vivid as they once were when I was young. Anyways, wow. Because it is a dream, I'm going to say that it could be a dream visitation of some sort. But since it's recurring, it's most likely something going on in your subconscious. So I would be more inclined to what your therapist says, that it is some sort of issue or anxiety. It doesn't necessarily mean that you felt unsafe in your home or in your family. But if you also feel like you have lapses of memory from your childhood, where there's like big gaps of time that you just can't recall, it could be some sort of trauma that happens all the time. With people who have gone through traumatic things, especially in their youth, and your mind just decides to block it to, well, protect itself, right? If you're still having memory issues, though, not to freak you out. I did hear that there are certain hormonal levels that if they're out of whack, it can affect your short-term memory, I guess, or some sort of just memory. But so if you're like experiencing a lot of memory loss, like definitely get it checked out beyond just your therapist. Maybe go to your doctor and make sure that everything is good under the hood. But yeah, it sounds like it's a very interesting dream. I think it's a little more interpretive than an actual UFO encounter, but also you know yourself best. Thank you so much for writing in, Danielle. Next, we have a story from Julia, they, them, there. Julia writes, "Hello, witches. If you're reading this, then I have actually completed one of my New Year's resolutions." Oh God, you can see how old. I'm so sorry, guys. You guys have been waiting months to have these read. But we appreciate your patience. Anyways, on to Julia's story. Okay. If you're reading this, then I have actually completed one of my New Year's resolutions and sent in a listener story to one of my favorite podcasts. I also apologize for any grammatical errors or anything that doesn't make sense because I'm a bit nervous sending it in. I have a list of stories to tell ranging from my magical practice to the prediction of someone's death. Whoa. But I will instead tell the story of the possible poltergeist that took residence in my old house. Love a good poltergeist story. This story requires a tiny bit of backstory before we get into the main story. So my family has a backstory of magical elements backing all the way to Mary Todd herself. On my dad's side. And yes, I do mean Abraham Lincoln's wife. Yo, so you're like descended from Mary Todd Lincoln herself? Wow, that is super cool. And by the way, she was a huge spiritualist. Anyways, so my dad is actually the guy where I get this similar ability. One of his earliest experiences includes talking to his friendly deceased neighbor. Luckily, this guy was a friendly ghost and actually enjoyed greeting my very young dad on his daily walks. That's so cute. Anywho, given that information, this story is going to star me and my dad. So back when we lived with my now ex-step family, my dad was in charge of dropping all the kids off at school. Since I was the closest, I always got to school an hour early and came home an hour earlier than everybody else. So I would usually go into my room and stall on some homework, watch YouTube, and cuddle with a feathery friend. My family used to own chickens. Oh my God, that's so cute. This one day I came home as usual, went into my room with the door open, and went to actually nurse a little sick chickie that I had resting in my room. So I went to give him some electrolytes when I heard footsteps run down the hallway. They were small but loud enough where the rooster I was nursing chirped in alarm, telling me he heard something too. Here's the thing. I was home alone. There was nobody in the house at the time. I even went to check around the house to see if my stepsister came home early. I eventually shook it off and went back into my room. Still being a bit spooked, I closed the door. Once I did, however, I heard a child laugh, like a little girl giving a giggle after doing something clever. Ooh, oh, yucko. I don't like that for you. Unfortunately, that is not where it ends. This cycle continued for 3 days. My old routine turned into me entering the house, running straight to my bedroom, and slamming the door. After slamming the door, I would hear the same footsteps and laughter. On the third day, I ran into my bedroom and slammed the door. After I heard the footsteps, out of frustration, I looked at the door and yelled, "Leave me the fuck alone." I heard nothing for a few seconds before I heard knock, knock, knock. Let's just say I definitely pissed myself. I would too. But after that, I was never bothered again. But does the story end here? No, it only gets worse. In fact, this is where my dad comes in. See, I ended up telling my dad of these experiences in which he did the things all dads do in situations like this, in which he told me that I was overthinking a probably reasonable explanation. But then not a week later, he came up and told me that he heard the same thing. When he did, I only responded with, "Told you." Although whatever entity was in my house and seemed enjoying to torture me for the small amount of time it did, it seemed to get a hoot out of my dad. He would tell me of hearing noises, getting weird cold spots in his room, and at one point he was getting scratches on his chest. 3 long lines would adorn his chest in the 2 mornings it happened. Holy shit. We automatically got rid of the possibility of it being the result of one of my cats, because one slept in my room and the other one would have looked visibly guilty if she had done it. And if you have ever seen a cat scratch, they have a very visible look and they hurt like hell. The fact that he didn't feel it in the night and the fact they look more like a human did it threw that out the window. After the scratches, we had enough and used my newfound witchy skills and cleansed the space, made a protection circle, and even gave him a bit of extra protection. After that, there were no issues. Looking back on it now, I believe it is a poltergeist that is in that home. The past of that house was super weird. The original owner started building the house, mysteriously stopped in the 90s. Then the last owner's daughters both died in a car accident, which caused them to leave. Then a bunch of people squatted in the house for 4 years before we moved into it. A piece of it has now followed me to where I currently live, but luckily, I have no issues handling it, and as I work on myself and get help for the negativity that I've carried with me for so long, it loses its power, so don't worry about me, lol. Thank you for at least reading my story, even if you don't read it. Julia. Julia, thank you so much for writing that in. It weirdly parallels a lot of my own experience with the poltergeist, even in the part where I like came clean to my dad, and his side of the family is where I get my, I guess not paranormal ability. I don't know if it feels like an ability. It's just something that happens, but I guess, yeah, the ability to sense the paranormal, I get it from his side. There's a slew of people on my dad's side that have, had very like just blatant paranormal experiences. And I remember telling him about it. And I knew that he would believe me, actually, because we grew up with all these stories of like my grandma seeing things and whatnot. And as I was telling him that shit was happening when I was alone at home, you know, those like, kitchen utensil holders, it's always next to the stove. It's like a ceramic big cup where you hold like your spatulas and shit. Right after I told him, literally that started like shaking on its own and then stopped on its own. It was wild. I loved the dramatic effect he put on the knock, knock, knock. Guys, this is how they wrote it. It was knock, dot, 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 knock, dot, 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 knock, dot, dot, dot. Love the dramatic effect. I always love a good flair of drama. I'm glad that you guys were able to get it under control and that the little bit that followed you is also getting under control too. I loved reading the story. Thank you so much. All right. Next, we have Sabrina. She, her, hers. Sabrina says, "Hi, I love listening to your podcast while I'm driving for work. And I'm about halfway through all the episodes at this point. I wanted to write a listener story for a while, as I've had various experiences throughout my life. Today, I wanted to talk about my dreams. I've had visions in my dreams for as long as I can remember, though normally I forget them upon waking and then experience the memory of the dream or a sense of deja vu when it happens." Sabrina, I totally get it. That happens to me too. I get it. "I never had a dream where someone visited me until my brother died." Oh, I'm so sorry. "When he passed, he visited 3 of us that he was closest to, letting us know he was okay. While the other 2 had the same dream, mine was different. He visited me twice, and each time he didn't say a single word. I almost got the sense that he couldn't speak, and all he did was sit next to me at the place where he put his ashes, looking incredibly sad. I knew he was okay, but he missed me as much as I missed him. I didn't see him again for over a year, and this dream was much different. It started with me looking for his house and being guided by two people, a woman and a man. They led me through a forest until we reached a house that, in retrospect, was definitely not his, but in the dream, I just went with it. The lady warned me that I couldn't stay past dark, and she and the man disappearing after telling me they'd be back to get me before then. I walked into the house, and it was newly remodeled and completely empty, as if it were for sale, and the lady was a real estate agent showing me the home. I looked through the window and saw a pool, and again my mind accepted that this was my brother's house, even though it most definitely was not. As I backed away from the window, there was now a pull-out couch right next to me where my brother sleeping on it. I was confused to see him because, even though I couldn't remember in the dream that he was dead, I still knew he shouldn't be there. I asked him what he was doing there, and he simply smiled and said, "Don't worry about it." It was then I remembered the past dreams where he hadn't talked, and that he was dead, but somehow here he was. I started freaking out and demanded, "If you're here, what the hell is in your urn?" Fair question. In my panic, I thought we'd somehow cremated the wrong person and he was still alive. Again, he smiled and said, "Don't worry about it." I felt a profound sense of peace and rest from him, something he never truly had while alive. So I trusted him and decided to drop it. It was sunset in the dream, and the lady returned for me as promised. As she led me out of the house, I woke up, able to remember the entire dream, which is rare for me. I knew that not only was my brother okay, but he was happy, whatever that place was. And that was all I could ask for. I just got chills. I thought you'd enjoy this little funny dream of mine, and maybe I'll write in again at some point with a much more terrifying dream I had. Keep up the amazing work. Oh, wow, Sabrina. First of all, I'm very sorry for your loss. I cannot imagine what it's like losing a sibling. I'm so glad that it seems that your brother is at peace now. And this isn't the first story that someone has written in where a loved one has literally shown them like where they're at in their afterlife. It almost reminds me, in that movie, What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, where everyone kind of has their own world that is perfectly suited for them. And it may not be, you know, the home that they lived in their human earth life. But it's where they're happiest and most peaceful. And I'd like to think, you know, that, I don't know, was this maybe like a dream house that he had? Like he always dreamed of having a house like that, and he got to have it in his afterlife, and he was showing you that he was doing fine. As far as the man and woman that led you to it, that totally sounds like a spirit guide or possibly even ancestors leading you there. I've definitely had various dream visitations, and there's always a sort of energy that you can feel when you have guides like that. I mean, I've seen loved ones, I've seen ancestors, ones that I didn't know while I was alive, that our lifespans haven't overlapped. And I have one dream that I'm pretty sure I dreamt of angels. And I won't get too deep into it because I don't want to get emotional. But your dream, that just, your whole story, thank you for writing that in and sharing that. That was so beautiful. Literally did get chills. I'm, you know, it makes me happy to think that your brother is indeed at rest and at peace in this really cool sounding house. All right. This next story is from Lexi, And Lexi writes, hello, Laura and Maria. My name is L. Oh, okay. Sorry. Your email signature says Lexi, but I will call you L. And L goes by she, they, he. L says, I'm a fairly young witch. Literally, I'm 16 and still in high school and a closeted witch for the most part. I wanted to share a couple of stories I have with you. But first, I wanted to say how much I love your podcast, and it's really helped me on my witchy journey. Also, it is very comforting to me. I've been a witch for a few months now, but grew up Baptist. Oh boy. I never knew much about it, but I did know some stuff about spirituality. I did know some stuff about spirituality because my mom believed in it right up until she was a devout Christian. I always had some iffy feelings about the church and didn't agree with a whole lot about what they had to say, especially about the LGBTQ plus community. Being part of it definitely didn't help either. I always knew I had some psychic abilities and good intuition, but I never really thought about it. Around February of 2021, I started to figure myself out more and discovered my true identity. I was struggling with the church and my personal views, and I didn't know what to do, which brings me to my first story. I had a boyfriend back in late ninth grade. It was a short relationship, but a very eye-opening one too. About a few weeks into the relationship, things started to feel off. He was acting cold and distant, was ghosting me off and on, and just wasn't acknowledging me as he used to. I'm a big worrier, and my initial thoughts were, he doesn't like me anymore, he's talking to other girls, he likes someone else, he's going to dump me, etc. And I thought I was just overreacting. Turns out all those things were in fact 100% true. Ugh, that sucks. Even down to some personal details I don't really want to get into. Thankfully, I dumped him first, but sadly, this all went down on my birthday. Ugh, that sucks more. But after that happened, that's when I started to notice how good my intuition was. And I wasn't just basing it off of that one time. I have many other events that happened in a similar way. Later on, I started to discover spirituality and witchcraft. I immediately fell in love with it. I always remembered loving crystals when I was younger. So much I wanted to be a prospector. And now I finally knew why I was so drawn to them. I also have always found such a deep connection with the moon and nature, etc. So I dropped being a devoted Christian, and now I identify as a non-religious eclectic witch. I mostly practice green witchcraft. I also have this birthmark on the back of my leg, and now I believe it to be my mark. I also started to do some research into my family history. I'm half American and half Guatemalan and am of Mayan and Aztec descent. Cool. I did research and now know that the Maya did practice forms of witchcraft. Now my altar is set up for those ancestors, but being in a Christian household and my parents finding out about me being a witch, I'm not allowed to practice in my house, but I have found some ways around it. And for my last story, this happened last night in my dream. Sometimes I've had the ability to smell people, not dead people, just people I know. But I woke up with ghost taste. I remember in part of my dream, I was watching Girl Interrupted the night prior, and they smoke a lot in that movie. I have cluttered dreams. But strangely, when I woke up, I tasted cigarettes or smoke in my mouth. I'm not a smoker or a vapor, but I definitely could tell what I was tasting. No one smokes in my house, nor do I have neighbors that do. My brother vapes, but only in his room. And he's not even in the country right now. Any insight on this? Sorry for the long email. Love you guys, and blessed be L. Okay, L. So as far as the taste thing, honestly, our minds are fucking incredible, amazing, complex, and especially dreams. God, like, dreams are just so interesting. I think this is a bit of like how in dreams things can feel so real and they can spill over even after we wake up. But along with that, like, How can you know the taste of cigarettes? Sure, you could argue that, like, oh, well, I mean, if you smell them, you can kind of put two and two together what they might taste like. But I also really do believe in generational knowledge that is kind of ingrained into our DNA. So if you had an ancestor or somebody that did smoke and they very much knew the taste of cigarettes, that could have been handed down to you. I know that I've definitely had dreams where I'm giving birth and I feel the pain. Like I feel it, and it's the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. And it was in a dream when I'm giving birth. And I wake up and I can think of it and I can recall all the different sensations. And I ask myself, like, how can I know those things? But, you know, there is an argument that, like, hell, every, ancestor of mine with female anatomy that has had a child has, you know, and not a C-section and had not had a C-section has gone through natural childbirth, right? And generations and generations and generations of that, I'm sure that that could find its way into my DNA. I think our bodies can have generational memory, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it could also just be like, you know, Laura has that cool thing where she smells random things like phantom smells. You could have phantom tastes, I'm sure. But yeah, I want to thank you so much for opening up about your journey with witchcraft and it not being easy to be a witch in your household. I had very understanding parents, and still it was very, very awkward being a witch in a house of Christians, Catholics. So I get it in a sense. I don't know how bad it is with your parents if like they totally disapprove and they're making it very hard for you to feel like yourself. If that's the case, I'm sorry that you're going through that. Know that there will come a time where you get to have your own place and decide on things without having to answer to anybody on how you live your life. Keep being true to yourself. I feel like an after-school special right now, but I want you to know that if anything, you know, you have our support, and I don't know what else to say. I'm just really appreciative of you writing in and telling us your story. And you're definitely intuitive, for sure. Like, keep listening to those gut feelings. Continue to develop that skill. I wish I had at an earlier age. Like, you have so much more ahead of you at just 16. But yeah, keep writing in too. Would love to hear more from you. Okay, so I'm going to call it there, everybody. Thank you so much, everyone who submitted. And even if I hadn't read your story, we are very backlogged. I do apologize. Yeah, these emails were definitely from a few months ago. But I'm really excited to get back to it, the podcast. I know that we've been taking a break. I know that you guys miss us. We even saw on our Patreon exclusive Facebook group, somebody writing like, "Where are you guys? I hope everything's okay." Everything is okay. You know, aside from Laura being under the weather right now. But we're very excited to get back to it. This will be going out Sunday, this Sunday, tomorrow for me. And we hope it kind of helps hold you guys over until we're both back at it. If you'd like to check us out on the social medias, we are at The New Witches pretty much everywhere. If you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, I know that we have a few Patreon shoutouts that are due, but I wanted to do it with Laura. I just thought that that was fair to do it like on a bigger, like, normal episode for you guys. We will shout you guys out. We've had a ton of new members, so to you guys, welcome. And if you are not a Patreon member, but you're super interested, we do give our Patreon members a bunch of exclusive benefits. Go to patreon.com/thenewwitches to check that out. We have various different tiers for different budgets, but whatever it is that you decide to give, we're so appreciative of the Patreon community. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to submit for a future story, please do so. Don't hesitate. We love hearing from you guys. A few ways to do that. You can email it in directly to us at thenewwitches@gmail.com. You can also go to our website and go to our contact page. We have a submission form there, and our website is thenewwitches.com. Lastly, you can also call it in. I think this is the coolest way and the least done way. But we have a Google voicemail box. You can call. It goes directly to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. But we take the recording of your voicemail and we feature it on the podcast. So we actually get to feature your voice on the podcast. And boom, you're famous, baby. the number for that is 707-559-8111. And you do have just a fair warning. It leaves you 3 minutes to leave your message / story / question. So just know that if you have a super long story, then it probably would be better to just like type it on our website or in an email. Gosh, what else? I haven't done this outro in so long, guys. I'm super rusty. I don't know. I love you guys. Stay witchy and pretend that Laura is saying this, but keep it creepy. We'll see you guys next time.